Thank you for firing up the Sunrise Church podcast. My name is Steve Garcia, and I am the lead pastor at Sunrise. We are a community of Jesus followers from all walks of life, all colors of skin, and all ages. And I hope this message you hear today inspires you to deepen your connection with Christ. Let's dive in. Most of us understand that growth in life is generally a good thing. A lot of us want to grow healthier, so we eat well, we rest well, we exercise regularly. Many of you want to grow in your craft, so you work hard, you practice, you seek training. Some people want to grow in parenting or cooking or learning a new language. See, most of us believe that growth in life is a good thing, yet somehow, when it comes to our spiritual lives, we don't always believe that. You see, you are not just a physical being. You have a body and a soul. And we often neglect the spiritual growth of our souls. You know, when we do this, it often leaves us in a place where we're feeling empty. It was this very sentiment that drove the great old King David to write this beautiful prayer in Psalm 63:1. He said, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." David prayed that his soul would find its satisfaction in God and God alone. And where you and I often go wrong is when we try to quench the thirst of our souls with something other than Jesus. And the end result is we're left feeling parched in a desert. But here's one of the many great things about God. He doesn't leave us in the dark when it comes to spiritual growth. He doesn't just take his hands off and say, "Okay, it's on you, figure it out." But he actually calls us to partner with him, and he provides lots of catalysts in our lives to help us to grow. We are continuing with part 3 in our message series today called Grown. And what we've been looking at all month long is how God uses various ways to grow us spiritually if we'll partner with him. In week 1, we talked about how God grows us through purposeful impact. All of us have a purpose, and that's to glorify God while enjoying our God. And when we pursue this purpose instead of our own, we can have an impact on others around us and in the process grow. Last week, we looked at how God grows us through personal obedience. Nothing will jumpstart your spiritual life faster than when you choose on your own to obey Jesus, believing in faith that what God has for me is better than what I want for me. Next week, we'll dive into how God grows us through providential relationships. How having godly community in our lives is vital to our spiritual growth. And then we'll wrap up the series by talking about how God grows us through practical disciplines. And we'll give you some tools to help foster spiritual growth. But today, we are going to lean in to how God grows us through pivotal circumstances. Very often in life, we get dry, we get bored, we get stuck. So God introduces circumstances into our lives to open up a window so that we can get back on track. So, what is a pivotal circumstance? It is something that occurs in my life that's crucial to the development of something else in my life. Or another way to put it, it's when God allows an event to open a window of growth in our lives so that we will become more like him. You see, when it comes to our lives, we have a certain expectation. Let me illustrate it to you like this. Most of us have a fairly linear expectation for our lives. So we are born, and we finish our education, and then we meet the perfect person, fall in love, get married, then we have children, and then we buy season passes to Disneyland and live happy ever after. Okay, this is our expectation of life. But that's often not how it looks. More often it looks like this. We're born, and we thought we were going to continue our education. You know, I was really athletic and I had a great scholarship to a great school, but then I blew out my knee, and that resulted in me not being able to carry out the scholarship, and I fell into a deep depression. And as a result, my life started going in a different direction. And I got so low that I finally turned to Christ and surrendered, and things started to get back on track. I started to pursue a new career. But then I got mixed up with some bad people, developed some bad habits, and went backwards in life. And then a good friend intervened and got me back on track and invited me to join their small group. And that's where I find themselves today. This is what we expected. This is what we experienced. See, life very often doesn't play out in a linear way. And all these little X's along the journey represent pivotal circumstances. And the temptation that you and I have is that all of these pivotal circumstances were just random. But when you read the scriptures, you find that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, one of the first verses that I committed to memory was Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. For it is who? God at work in you. It is not luck at work in you. It is not happenstance at work in you. It is not karma at work in you. It is God at work in you. And what is he doing? He is willing and acting according to his good purpose. Your life is not random, but instead it's a beautifully woven tapestry of threads in which God Almighty marries our choices with his purposes. And very often in life, he will allow these circumstances to occur that change the whole trajectory of where we thought our life was going so that he can move us into a greater story. Now, Hollywood has a version of these pivotal circumstances. Scriptwriters call them inciting incidents. Now, I'm a big movie guy. I love a good movie. And what I love the most about movies is when they have a good story. Now, the lone exception to this are movie theater movies. When I go to a movie theater, I care less about the story and more about the experience. If I'm gonna drop $27 for a movie theater ticket or whatever it costs these days, I'm gonna need to have an experience. I need to see something blow up. I need to see some guns. I need to see some karate kicks. I need to see a guy in sunglasses walking slow motion away from an explosion. Okay, if I'm gonna drop that kind of money, it's not gonna be for a romantic comedy. But movie theater movies aside, I love movies, and what I love the most is a good story. And in every movie you've ever watched, it begins with a character who has some kind of expectation in their life, very similar to the ones you and I have. And then an inciting incident occurs that changes the arc of their story. It's when the radioactive spider descends from the ceiling and bites Peter Parker on the back of the neck. It's when the newly integrated school in the South where the Titans play football named Herman Boone the head coach over the white coach who previously held that role. It's when the wind picks up on a Kansas farm and Dorothy grabs her dog Toto and runs to Auntie Em's house to get shelter from the tornado. In all of these cases, the main character in the story thought their life was going a certain way until something changed the course of that event. Peter Parker became Spider-Man and saved the world. Herman Boone led this integrated school to an undefeated season and taught a community about racism in the process. Dorothy helped others find their value and rid the land of Oz of the Wicked Witch. In all of these cases, there was an inciting incident that changed the trajectory of their lives and led them to a great story. Scripture is filled with these kinds of pivotal circumstances. I want to give you two examples, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. First, from the Old Testament. Look at this verse with me. Genesis 41:41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." A young Jewish man rises to the second highest position of power in Egypt. How in the world did this happen? What was the inciting incident? What was the pivotal circumstance? It occurred in Genesis 37, verse 23. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The whole trajectory of Joseph's life changed when his brothers shoved him into a pit and sold him into slavery, which would eventually land him in Egypt. And Joseph's life would take a series of twists and turns that would result in a meteoric rise to power in which he would become a savior for his people and reconcile some hurt family relationships along the way. Here's an example from the New Testament. These are the words of the Apostle Paul, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The Apostle Paul is widely regarded as the greatest missionary who ever lived. Scholars estimate that in Paul's lifetime alone, he preached the gospel to upwards of 2 million people. But it wasn't always that way. What was the inciting incident? What was the pivotal circumstance in Paul's life? Acts 9, verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Paul, who's also known as Saul, had his life mapped out. He was on his way to stamp out Christianity in the city of Damascus until Jesus knocked him off his horse and ultimately knocked him off his course. And Paul's life would go through a series of twists and turns that resulted in him surrendering his life to Jesus, being accepted by the community of believers, discipled, and sent off into the Greek-speaking world where he would preach the gospel. He wrote most of the New Testament, and here we are thousands of years later, and we're still talking about him. Now, in both of these cases, with Joseph and with Paul, their stories seem to have taken an unfortunate turn. But because we have the whole picture of their lives, we can see how this one pivotal circumstance set in motion a chain of events that allowed them to lead a great story. You see, with no inciting incident, we never meet the superhero Spider-Man. We just follow an average teenager named Peter. Without an inciting incident, Herman Boone is just another high school football coach. Without an inciting incident, we just follow a girl named Dorothy around a farm in Kansas. Without the pivotal circumstances in Joseph's life, all we have is a punk kid who fought with his brothers. Without the pivotal circumstances in Paul's life, all we have is a bad guy who time forgot. But instead, because God stepped in and allowed these moments to happen to knock them off the trajectory they thought their life was heading, we end up having a great story. A young Jewish man who, against all odds, against the face of abandonment, rises above his circumstances to help others. Paul becomes a Christian killer to a gospel spreader. And what we have are great stories that ought to inspire our confidence in God. But here is the ironic thing about you and I. We love to watch a great story. We love to read a great story. We love to hear a great story. And we hate to live a great story. Many of us, if given the choice, would want the story of our lives to be quiet, uneventful, and predictable. As long as I'm happy and in control, I'm good. But what if God wants to break some new ground in your life today? What if God wants to open a window in your life where you can grow to become more like Him? What if the circumstances occurring in your life right now are not random, accidental, or innocuous? What if God is working behind the scenes as we speak and we don't even notice Him? I want to encourage all of us to pray a powerful prayer. It could transform the way that you view your life. Here's the prayer. God, help me to see Your hand upon me. Can we all say that out loud together? Wherever you're watching this, speak it out loud right back to the screen. God, help me to see Your hand upon me. The difference between people who grow from their circumstances and people who don't is the ability to recognize the hand of God at work in their lives. Throughout Scripture, the hand of God represents His power, His guidance, His discipline. The great old prophet Isaiah once wrote this in Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The hand of God is at work in our lives. And if we could just recognize it, it could transform the way we view life. I've been praying this prayer all this week. And it changes things when you make a wrong turn and then find yourself in traffic that's going to extend your commute. What if this was a pivotal circumstance? God, help me to see Your hand upon me. What about that interruption that occurs in your workday that you were never planning on? What if this is a pivotal circumstance? God, help me to see Your hand upon me. What about that chance encounter you had with that person who you haven't seen in so long? What if this is a pivotal circumstance, something God is going to use in my life to change the direction of where I thought things were going? God, help me to see Your hand upon me. I want to encourage you to pray that. Now, generally speaking, there are three types of pivotal circumstances that occur in our lives that get our attention a little more than others. I believe that most people are open to God under these kinds of pivotal circumstances: in tragedy, in trouble, and in transition. You ought to pay attention to when these happen in somebody else's life or in your life. I believe that in tragedy, in trouble, and in transition, those who don't know Christ are more open to Him, and those who do know Christ are more tuned in to Him. Let's break these down one by one and gain some encouragement from the Word of God. Let's start first with tragedy. Here are some examples of tragedy: death, the loss of a loved one; abuse, when you are the victim of someone else's sin; a negative diagnosis; receiving word of a life-changing injury or a terminal illness. Of all the circumstances, this is the most difficult to see the hand of God in. But it is possible, and we have to pray, God, help me to see Your hand upon me. I loved what the Apostle Paul wrote to believers who are suffering through tragedy. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Paul was someone who suffered a lot in life, someone who experienced a lot of tragedy. And despite all of the pain he encountered, Paul taught with conviction that our God has the power to transform tragedy into triumph. And it's incredibly difficult, especially when death takes someone from you, or when abuse steals something from you, or when a doctor drops a bombshell on you. And if that's you today, if you're going through tragedy, I want to let you know, I'm standing before you to tell you, that God has not forgotten you and that his hand is upon you. And the difference between those who grow from their circumstances and those who don't is the ability to recognize God's hand upon them. Now, this is so key, so lean into this. Paul did not stop when he said, God works all things together for the good. He didn't stop there. He said, God works all things together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The promise of God, the ability to make beauty out of ashes, is not a promise reserved for somebody who is pushing God away. This is not a promise for the cynic. This is not a promise for the rebellious. This is not a promise for the atheist. This is a promise for the believer who, through tears, is hanging on to God with everything they got. I'm holding on to you, God. I'm remaining faithful, and I'm believing in faith that even in this, your hand is upon me. You see, I think that tragedy breaks us down so far that all we have left is the hope of heaven. You know, most pastors I know, if given the choice between officiating a wedding or officiating a funeral, would pick a funeral every time, which seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Why would you want to do that? Funerals are so sad. Weddings are happy and fun. But listen, funerals are among the holiest experiences we can have in this life. Because it's in these moments that we're confronted with our own mortality. We're confronted with our own helplessness. We're confronted with our own powerlessness. And we are much more open to our need for God. And if you find yourself in tragedy today, I want to encourage you. Your story is not over. And it is possible that God has allowed these circumstances into your life because he's ready to start a new chapter through you. And it may feel impossible, but if you could just pray, God, help me to see your hand upon me. I'm telling you, God can bring a good purpose even out of the hardship you're facing. The first pivotal circumstance that really gets our attention, that really opens us up to our need for God, is tragedy. Here's another one, trouble. Very often, when we get in trouble, we are much more open to God in our lives because we need his help. Let me give you a few examples of trouble. Relational trouble. You said or did things that drove a wedge in your marriage or in your friendships. Financial trouble. You made some bad purchases. Now you're crippled by debt and there's no going back. The losses are mounting. Or maybe you got in trouble with the law. You made a mistake and now you're facing the consequences. So how does God respond when we get ourselves in trouble? Does he point his finger down from heaven and say, see, I told you so, you didn't listen to me, and now look what happened. You got what you deserved, now you're on your own. Your earthly father may have responded that way, but that is not how our heavenly father responds. In fact, it's possible that the circumstances you find yourself in have been allowed by a loving father, so that he can bring you back in. I want to turn your attention to a fascinating piece of scripture in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Read along with me, beginning in verse 5. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Isn't that interesting? You see, the discipline of God is not evidence of an angry God. It's evidence of a loving God. It's the evidence of a loving father. You see, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, it's possible that the trouble you find yourself in right now is actually the discipline of a God who's telling you that he loves you too much to stand on the sidelines and watch you train wreck your life. Imagine this. There's a child who's in your care. Maybe it's a son or a daughter, a niece or a nephew. Maybe you're babysitting. And this child is a runner. And they are sprinting headlong towards a busy street with cars racing up and down, left and right. What is the most loving thing you can do in that moment? You could say, you know, my kid, they really freak out when they don't get what they want. They scream, they yell, there's a whole huge conflict, it's embarrassing, and quite frankly, I just don't have the strength to do it. It's just much easier to just give them what they want, so I'm gonna do it. That's not love, that's negligence. The most loving thing you can do in that moment is to run in and scoop that child up and prevent them from further harm. And the hope is that that child will understand that the reason why you discipline them in the moment is because you love them and you didn't want them to hurt themselves. But understand that learning that lesson is not a guarantee. The writer of Hebrews continues in verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness for everyone. Is that what it says? No. Keep reading. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, you might have been that kid who your parents all your life have been stepping in and preventing you from harm. You might have been that kid who you're all grown up and you say, my parents never let me do anything. They always prevented me from playing in the street. Well, I'm grown now. I could do whatever I want. And so you start sprinting right towards that street. You get hit by a car and now you're in a full body cast asking someone to scratch your lower back with a ruler. You weren't trained by the discipline. And now you're facing the consequences. And it's possible that that's where you find yourself today. Maybe you didn't listen to everyone's advice. Maybe you let your anger run wild and you sabotaged a relationship. You made horrible and impulsive financial decisions that have changed your future. Or maybe you just thought you wouldn't get caught, but you did. And here you are. Friends, I want to encourage you, if this is you today, to pray, God, help me to see your hand upon me. The truth is that the circumstances you are going through right now may very well be the hand of God in your life, allowing you to feel the weight of your consequences, to allow you to get to the end of yourself where you confess, God, I can't keep going on like this anymore. I had a professor in seminary who used to say, until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change, you'll never change. Perhaps what God has done is allowed you to get to that point where you say, God, I need a change. And his discipline in your life is actually the evidence that you are a legitimate child of God. You see, it's far scarier when you persevere in sin and never face consequences. That may be evidence that you don't have a relationship with God. But maybe the consequences you're facing now is actually the evidence of a relationship with a loving Father who's reining you back in. And so now it's up to you to learn from this. Own what you did, make amends for what you did. And keep your eyes open because this may be a pivotal circumstance where God is changing the trajectory of your life and getting ready to write a new chapter in your story. The pivotal circumstances where we are most open to God are tragedy, trouble, here's one more, transition. Very often when we are thrust into a lot of change, it opens us up to the guidance of God. Here's some examples of transition. A change in your job. You got fired from your job, or you got hired to start a new job. A change in your relationship. You got married or you got divorced. Massive transitions. A change of location. You moved to a new town, started a new school, moved into a new apartment or house. Or a change of family. You got a newborn baby or a foster child or some aging relatives moved back in with you. In all of these scenarios, massive transition has hit your life. And this can be scary and disorienting because it's the first time you did it. You don't have a context to draw from. You don't know what to do. And it's in these moments we are far more open to God. God, help me through this. And if you are someone today who finds yourself in transition, who's experiencing a lot of changes, I want to give you some encouraging scripture. Listen to these powerful words written by James. James chapter 1, verse 17. He says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." The character of God, anchor yourself in on this. God does not change, which is great news if you're perfect. If you know someone who is perfect in nature, you don't want them to change because if they change, they cease being perfect. But God is perfect. And I love how James describes him, the Father of the heavenly lights. When you look up to the sky, when you lift your gaze up to the heavenly lights, you're gonna see all kinds of light sources depending on what time you look up. At noon, you'll have to squint because of the brilliance of the sun. At nighttime, the sky is illuminated with the heavenly lights of the stars and the moon. Now, it appears from our perspective down here that there's all kinds of change going on up there. But the sun and the moon and the stars aren't rapidly moving around. It's us who are shifting. This planet we call home is rotating. It's our perspective that changes. And the same is true with God. Our world may be spinning, but God is constant. He's that fixed point. And I know you know this, but when you're going through a lot of change and a lot of transition and you're feeling like things are spinning out of control, remember that God is not in transition. He's not antsy. He's not worried. He's not second-guessing himself. He's not having long conversations in his own mind. Should I have done this? Should I not have done this? He's not anxious. He's not afraid. He is constant. He is in control. And he is the God that we can anchor down on. And I love what James says, that every good and perfect gift is from above. And when you pray, "God, help me to see your hand upon me," it will help you to interpret your circumstances as the possibility of maybe this is a gift from above. So when you're sitting in your boss's office and they tell you, "I'm sorry, this is just not working out. Your position has been terminated. You've been thrust into massive transition and this could be a gift from above." Or when your boss says, "Congratulations, you've received a promotion. You're relocating to Texas. This is massive transition and this could be a gift from above." When you're sitting in the coffee shop across the table from the person you thought you loved and they tell you, "It's time to call it quits. Your world is turned upside down in transition and this could be a gift from above." So whether they say, "I do," or you have a baby, or you have to bring your parent into hospice care, the hand of God is still at work amidst all of this transition, and it's possible that this is a gift from God. God, help me to see your hand upon me. The difference between people who grow from their circumstances and people who don't is the ability to recognize that God's hand is at work. You know, thousands of years ago, Jesus suffered possibly the most grave injustice in the history of the world. He was arrested and sentenced to death. despite the fact that he did nothing wrong. His accusers couldn't find anything wrong with him. They had to pay people to make up lies. The Roman governor who green-lighted his execution couldn't find anything wrong with him. In fact, he tried to free him. And yet, Jesus was still given the sentence of death. And not just any death, the kind reserved for criminals, crucifixion. Jesus experienced all three pivotal circumstances: tragedy, the loss of an innocent life; trouble, he was arrested and sentenced; transition, his movement would end with his death. Or at least, that's how it appeared on the surface. But the death of Jesus was the ultimate pivotal circumstance. Because what seemed to be a tragedy was actually God setting in motion a chain of events that could completely change the trajectory of your life. See, Jesus, the innocent one, traded his life for the guilty ones, you and I. He took upon himself all the sins of the world, all the sins that you committed in the past, all of the sins that you're committing right now, all of the sins you're going to commit in the future. They were all laid upon him, and he took those sins into the grave. And so all who placed their faith in him would give him their sin and then in return receive his forgiveness, his righteousness, his rightness. And when you place your faith in Jesus, the arc of your story changes. You no longer have to walk in the fear of death. You could experience the joy of freedom. You could have the peace of a relationship with Christ and your eternity secured. Have you ever taken that step of faith? Have you ever deliberately invited Jesus into your life? I've been encouraging you throughout this message to pray, "God, help me to see your hand upon me." Do you think this moment is accidental? Do you think this is just a random time? God's hand is upon you. It is no accident that you are in this moment, watching right now, facing this decision. So in a minute, I'm going to give you a prayer that you could repeat after me. Sometimes we call it the sinner's prayer or a prayer of salvation. And it's just a simple prayer of confessing your sins to God, believing that he died in your place, and asking for his forgiveness so that you can commit to following him for the rest of your life. So if you've never invited Jesus into your life, then now is the time. I'll give you the words, but you have to pray them in faith. So repeat after me as we pray. Jesus, I believe you are real, but I've never invited you into my life. That changes today. Today, I put my faith in you. I believe you are God, sent to die in my place. And I ask that you forgive me of my many sins. Come into my life, Jesus. Change me so I can live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, we want to know about it and we want to celebrate it. So if you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube, let us know in the comments. Today I said yes to Jesus. Today I committed my life to Christ. If you're watching on our online campus platform, click on that little button. Today I committed my life to Christ. Get those hands up so that we can get involved in your life. Or another way you could do it is to text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. You'll receive a message back, and one of those options is, "I said yes to Jesus." For everyone else, text the word next to 909-281-7797. This is your opportunity to take that next step, to find a place to serve, to get involved in a small group. You know, Rooted is starting in just a couple of weeks. Rooted is a 10-week experience that helps develop some spiritual rhythms in your life, and it gets you going in a small group. Text next to 909-281-7797 and take your next step today. Friends, every great story becomes great because of a pivotal circumstance. An inciting incident that changes the trajectory of a story. God's hand is at work in your life. The question is, do you see it? I want to encourage you to pray, God, help me to see your hand upon me. And start looking at your circumstances and interpreting them through the lens of maybe God is helping me right now by opening a window so that I could step into this new story, this new chapter he's writing for me. And if you do, then you'll be able to echo the very words that King David said in Psalm 27:13 when he said, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, the goodness of God is not something solely reserved for heaven. It's something you can experience right now, but you gotta have your eyes open. You gotta be tuned in to the work of God in your life. And it's possible that the circumstances you're going through today, whether it's tragedy, trouble, or transition, may be God at work, providing an opportunity for your story to take a turn for the better. The difference between people who grow from their circumstances and people who don't are those who recognize God's work in their life. And I'm standing before you today to tell you that your life is not over. And in fact, with Christ, these circumstances you're going through may mark the fact that your life is just beginning. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. I want to encourage you to not just stop here. Maybe you sense God is speaking to you today and wanting you to take that next step. So here's two ways you can do just that. The first is text the word next to the number 909-281-7797. That's 909-281-7797. And you'll receive a message back with some ways to help you grow. That may mean joining a small group or finding a place to serve or just talking with someone one-to-one about your faith. You can also visit the notes for this podcast and follow the links provided. And if you're within driving distance of one of our four physical locations in Banning, Ontario, Rialto, or Victorville, we'd love for you to stop by sometime and give us a chance to meet you personally. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.